You are listening to Pastor Eric Cunin of Berean Baptist Church in Pickerington, Ohio. Contact information will be provided at the conclusion of the sermon.
Been thinking about biblical discipleship for a long time now. I've probably have thought about it for a year or two. So what's taking you so long to preach on it anyways? I've had a really hard time deciding how to approach it. I can have people go to the classic passage of Matthew 28, 19, and 20 and talk about the Great Commission, go and make disciples, you know what I'm saying? The idea of salvation and carrying forth into discipling people. Thought about that, but it really wasn't the way I wanted to go. I understand how important discipleship is in life. As I prepared for this, I began to think over a time span of people that affected me in my life. You know what I mean? There have been times I'll sit back and I'll say, I wish there were more men that would have came into my life as a young man and grabbed me by the arm and said, Eric, God wants to use you, but you need to learn some things and hang on to a few things to understand the value of the local church, to understand how important the Word of God is, how important it is to have a disciplined life. I confess there have been times in my life I would reflect back and I would say, who were these men that came into my life? There just wasn't enough of them in my journey. I thought, well, you know, it would have been nice as maybe I would have started out a little sooner, a little faster, a little sharper, a little better. I was reading an excerpt from a book. Sometimes I think about buying books, you know, and I'll go on Amazon.com and look at books and say, do I want to buy or purchase this book? And so if you've ever done that, they'll say, would you like to look inside? And they'll give you a clip of the book. And I was reading a clip of a book of a guy who sounded a little bit like me as a young man, except he wasn't saved and I was saved. Goofing off in school, content with mediocrity, content with not being real serious about any of your pursuits, hanging around with guys that are, you know, goof-offs too often. And I thought about that a little bit, and I said, where were the guys at that told me to stop that? Quit being a gym rat. Quit goofing around. Quit doing all those things that are just wasting your time. You're preparing for the ministry. Get in there. But at the time, I didn't think I was preparing for the ministry. I kept shoving it off and pushing it away and saying, oh, you got to be kidding. I don't really want to do that. But I'm also thankful, on the other hand, for a number of people that did take interest in me. I think a lot of it was just the hand of God. You know what I mean? It was the hand of God in my life where there were people that came around. Boy, you know, there was a couple of guys that came around in my life that God put there. And they were kind of no-nonsense guys, you know what I mean? They were individuals that, you know, would say, hey, will you stop it? Here's what I want you to do. You need to do this. You need to do that. It was good for me. I remember the campus pastor at Cedarville who went to be with the Lord about a year ago. And he was well aged at this point. But I remember him pulling me aside on a couple of occasions and just kind of blasting me. You know, he'd just say, well, you don't need to think that way, you know, blah, blah, blah. I thought, wow, you know, it was discipline. It was discipline. And I needed somebody to come along in my life in that process. It wasn't like I had no discipline or anything in my life, but I kind of was one of those laid-back guys and content with mediocrity and content with some things in my life that I didn't need. But I began to see the need of discipline in my life. I'm thankful for the people God put in the way. I was thinking a little bit, and I hadn't planned on doing this, but would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 just for a moment? It reminds me, probably the very basics of discipline with discipleship comes so often with father-son relationships. I appreciated a lot of the discipline my dad and my mom gave me. I often tell the story of my dad working for him at his service station when I was a kid. And I remember, and I've shared this with you before, but I remember him grabbing a hold of my arm because I was lollygagging going out to the pump as a 16-year-old. These were the days of full service, you know what I mean? And I remember walking out to the pump some hot summer day and kind of walking about this pace, customer at the pump, daydreaming as I went out to the pump. And all of a sudden, my dad got a hold of my arm. And he says, "This isn't how you walk out to the pump, bud." And he grabs a hold of my arm and he walks me across like this. He says, "Now that's how you walk when you want to wait on a customer." Gulp. Guess what? I always walked fast after that to go out to the pump. And he always made sure I said, "Yes, sir," and "Yes, ma'am." And I thanked people even if they were discourteous to me. Did it do me any good? I think so. I think it taught me the importance of being a good servant, even apart from the Word of God. So when I read portions like Proverbs 3 where it says, "My son, do not forget my law, do not forget the things that I laid down to you," does this ring a bell with any of you adults or kids out there today? He says, "But let your heart keep my commands. Let it go down deep. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." So when your mom and your dad said, "Watch before you cross the street. Look both ways." It's one of those general axioms, we would call them, general truths of life, is you better be alert before you cross the street, right? It's pretty good advice. You say, "Well, everybody knows that." Not necessarily. There are some kids on my street, folks, that when I drive off out of my neighborhood, that I don't think their parents have ever told them. It says, "And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man, Then he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I think it's good to have discipline in our life. And so when I begin this series, it's another one of these series that I do, I want to tell you that I found a place to start finally. And it was in the area of discipline. I think there is a tremendous need in general in the world that we live in for discipline, first of all. But second of all, I think if you are being discipled, or if you are discipling someone, I think it's important that you, as you share and as you learn, that you have some discipline in your life and that you tell people. I really think it's hard to be a good Christian, a follower of the Lamb, someone who truly loves Jesus Christ and is sold out to him. I think it's really hard to be that way unless you have some discipline. I think it's tough. I think it's very difficult. Well, why discipline? You ever notice, as I begin this, the similarity of the terms disciple and discipline? Actually, I began looking there. If you ever get online, you can get on some interesting things. For instance, you can get on the etymology of certain words. So I began to get on the etymology of these words, and they are related. They are related. In fact, in a lot of ways, they are related militarily. It's no accident that they're similar. They are related words, both of them meaning to learn. If you're a disciple, it means you are a learner. And if you are a learner, it will take discipline on part of the teacher and learner. I always liked, I can't remember where I once heard it. It was Socrates or Plato, one of those guys at one time. And they would have people that would come to them and they would want to learn. And they would want to be a disciple of these individuals. And one day, they took their disciple out into the water and they kept going out further and further and further in the water until it was about mouth high. And then all of a sudden, the philosopher grabbed a hold of the guy and pushed his head down in the water and held it there. And he held it down there quite a while, and finally the guy fought free and started sputtering and all the rest coming back up. And he said, when you want to be a disciple this bad, then I'll be ready to teach you. I think sometimes most of us want to be discipled or to disciple someone else, but we always want it to be easy. You know what I mean? We want it to be a cup of coffee. We don't want to try very hard at all. I paid a little bit of attention to the NFL draft that just finished up, you know, the football, professional football draft. I watch a little bit of it, try to see what happens a little bit with some of the players. I found it interesting, though, that one of the things that a lot of the teams that are going to spend millions of dollars on a player, you know something? They don't want them half-hearted. Have you ever noticed that? You say, but they're getting millions of dollars. That's what's expected. There has to be discipline. They want guys that are working hard all the time, that are sold out for the team, that'll give their very, very best. But isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ expects out of our life? And how do we share that with other people? How do we pick that up from other people? We want to be able to have a vibrant testimony. We want to be able to stand forth for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a discipline involved in it. The word discipline has almost a militaristic idea involved in it. If you want to do well in battle, you better be disciplined. Isn't that what the Army recruits and the Marine recruits and the Navy recruits and the Air Force recruits find out real quick when they go off to basic training? Hey, you guys are all going to sit around. We're going to barbecue for you the whole time while you're here. You'll have steak with every meal. You can get up whenever you want in the morning, 10 o'clock, 11, whatever you want to do. We'll play a little volleyball during the day. We'll have some pickup basketball games. We'll watch TV. We'll have a lot of video games for you guys all to play at night. You can go out and do whatever you want. And that's what it'll be like. It'll be fun. It'll be fun for you. Come on. And then, well, if we have a battle, if you guys want to go out, it's up to you. You know, if war ensues. Is that how it works? Discipline has a bit of a militaristic idea involved in it. There's discipline. I find it really hard to live the Christian life without discipline. I find it really hard to just do what I want. And it's kind of sad. We live in the deluded idea that if I'm saved, I can just live how I want and I'm going to be an island in my own self and I don't have to share with anybody. I don't have to learn from anybody. That's the way it is. I want you to understand, if nothing else, when you leave today, there is discipline involved in the Christian life and there is discipline involved with discipleship. Yes, it is a process of learning. We would like it if everyone just picked up all kinds of discipline just because they went to church and Sunday school. If they just listened to sermons and that's all there is. Have you ever noticed, folks, how difficult it is to pray for more than a couple of minutes? You ever find that out? You ever find out how hard it is to sit down and pray for 15 minutes and not completely be distracted and lose your concentration and to be disciplined enough to do that? Have you ever found out how hard it is to read your Bible for 15 minutes? Have you ever found out how hard it is to have a discussion even about the things of the Lord for 15 minutes? With somebody. It's discipline. That's why it's so hard for us to disciple people. That's why it's so hard for us to be discipled. Well, here's some lessons in discipline for the disciple. I want to spend a few minutes in Matthew 16 and we'll leave this morning. You ever find out how hard it is to listen to a sermon very long anymore? Seriously. I'm I'm serious. Have you ever found out how hard it is to concentrate on a sermon without being in Never Never Land or either in sleep or in mental stupor? Or without thinking about doing 50 other things afterwards? Have you ever found out how difficult it is and how much discipline it takes to listen to a message? To make it through Sunday school class? To do all of those things? We're so used to being entertained. I find it very difficult sometimes to communicate a message with God's people. It's hard for me sometimes to look out in the congregation, I have to confess sometimes. The stampedes that go on, all the rest of the things, the distractions, and so many other things that are going on. Sometimes it's pretty difficult. In Matthew chapter 16, let's pick up with the context. It says, then the Pharisees in verse 1 of Matthew 16 and Sadducees came. It's always the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all these people, right? And they were testing him, meaning the Lord Jesus, and they asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. Oh, people always like a sign. You ever ask God for a sign? Oh, Lord, if you would just show me, then I will know what to do. Then if you don't like if God showed you something, you say, will you show me something else? He answered and said to them, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. We talk about that stuff even today, don't we? I grew up around Lake Erie, so they were always concerned if the lake was going to get whipped up and that sort of thing, so red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Some things have never, you know, some things are still true, you know, and they say there is some accuracy to those things. I'm not a meteorologist, so if you can look around on that one if you want. They could tell by the color of the sky what they think the weather's going to do, if they should take their boats out or not. But he says, you're a bunch of hypocrites. I tell you a lot of things, and you're not catching any of it. And so he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. People always, they don't want to trust the word of God. They don't want to trust the Lord. They want God to say, here you go. But he said, I gave you a sign and you're not catching it. I'm cutting, but you're not bleeding. And he said, it was the sign of the prophet Jonah. What's the sign of the prophet Jonah? Do you know? It was given a couple of times. Jonah was swallowed into the belly of the great fish, and he was there how long? Right? And it was kind of like the sign of Christ dying and the resurrection, the 3 days and the three nights, and that was the sign of Jonah. So, he left them and departed. Now, okay, good. I got rid of all these guys that really have a tough time believing and are always skeptics and hate me and that sort of thing. But here's my disciples. So when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Busy, busy. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So I say this. One of the lessons is be alert. Lord's been teaching them and they were AWOL. In other words, they're not alert to what God was trying to teach them. The Lord Jesus Christ was instructing them. They were missing the boat. They were not learning the things they were supposed to learn. And so, they're not alert whatsoever. It's discipline. You know, the Lord's been teaching them over and over and over again. And they're just not catching it. They're not understanding. They're not listening. They're not paying attention. They're not getting it. They're not hanging on to these things. Leaven has to do with influence. So I have to, you know, their leaven, in a sense, was, he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was their influence of bad and false doctrine. Excuse me. Their bad doctrine, he said, you got to be careful about it. It could be influencing you. But they're not catching this. You know what I mean? They're not hanging on to these things. And so, second of all, there was too much emphasis yet in their life on the temporary. Lord's teaching them things, but they're more concerned at this point about their tummies. You know what I mean? I tease you sometimes about this time of the morning and said you're probably hungry for lunch. Everybody laughs because they are. Oh, Pastor, it only finished up. I'm so hungry. I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to go feed my face because I'm so hungry. Nothing makes me hungrier than listening to that guy talk, you know. But maybe there's something that God wants to do with your hearts. You know what I mean? Perhaps there is something that God is trying to teach you. I think sometimes we get a little bit like Esau. I'll give you a comparison here. And I remember Esau, Jacob, and Esau. Remember the account? What was the problem with Jacob and Esau? Jacob was a trickster, right? He was rather deceptive. And he knew that Esau was hungry, and mom was on Jacob's side, and she tells him, go prepare this meal that he's going to come in and say, oh man, does that smell good? And I'm so hungry. I've been out hunting all day, out in the woods, and out doing this, that, and the other thing, and I'm just starving. He gave up his birthright, didn't he? Because he was hungry. I think I'm sure they were hungry. But I think the Lord was teaching them lessons that, can you imagine, might surpass their appetites? I think so often we're consumed by so many things of life. And there's always something that's calling us. If it's not our appetite, it's something else that's calling us. And we just can't seem to fit Jesus in to all the things that we want to do. I would really like to learn more about Jesus. I would really like to tell people what God has shared with me over the years. But I just don't have time. It's 2012. I'm busy. I'm working. I'm doing. Hey! It's lunch, it's breakfast, it's supper, I got people that count on me, I'm working, I'm doing this. Who's got time for any of this? We forgot the bread. That's what's on my mind. You'll notice also in verses 7 through 11, and I'm getting there quick here, folks. And they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. They're not getting it, you notice. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Don't you see, I can provide all that. Not the 7 loaves, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? We have a tremendous need. It's a tremendous challenge to understand the truth and to ask the Lord by the help of the Spirit of God to process it somehow in the depths of our hearts. Disciples kept coming up with the wrong conclusions, and it wasn't because they hadn't heard any spiritual talk from the Lord before. I think sometimes that's another problem with the process of discipling. We are so busy, we're on from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. We don't spend much time thinking about things. I confess to you folks, if you think that I can sit down at one shot and prepare a sermon, you're wrong. I have to think about it. There are times through the course of the week that all of a sudden God lays something on my heart. I got to scribble it down. Then when I'm preparing it, I write something down. Then even sometimes after I'm done preparing it, have I really spent enough time thinking about this? Do we meditate on the Word of God? Do we think about it? Do we give pause? You know, here's the disciples. They have the privilege of Jesus with them, and they're hardly giving any thought to what he's saying. Please, please, give consideration and thought to what the Word of God says. It's a treasure. How do you take care of a treasure? Well, there's more that I can share, but is it all right? I'm going to stop here. Is it all right to challenge and rebuke the disciple? I think it is. I think it is. And on Mother's Day, I will probably talk about discipleship and parenting. So I'll wait till then. But have you ever noticed, do you ever rebuke your children? Do you ever find that as a discipline in itself? Do you ever find, or have you found, that that was part of the discipline? You have to get their attention. I've shared this with you before. I know in many households people just scream. But have you ever found out how important it is just to walk up eye to eye with your children or even with someone else and explain something to them and tell them how important something is and say, even with an even tone in your mouth, and say, listen, this will happen if you do this. This will happen if you don't do this. Well, I want to let my children figure it out for themselves. Listen, part of the discipling process is you express to them the discipline of life. That's why we began in Proverbs 3 and said, keep it in your heart all of your life. Take it with you. It's important. And the spiritual lessons of life shouldn't fall on deaf ears, but should fall on open ears. See, they finally understood in verse 12, then they understood. You see, the teacher should never quit just because he gets some resistance. So then they understood. It doesn't mean that Jesus didn't rebuke them. He says, how is it you don't understand ever? Maybe they said, what is he trying to tell us? Oh, I get it. You ever find out you got to tell your kids about five times before they get it? Sunday school teachers, you ever find out that one of the processes of teaching is you got to tell your students over and over again, hey, I told them once. It's not enough. You tell them over and over again. And you that used to teach school and that sort of thing, one of the requirements of teaching school, one of the requirements of a pastor is I am repetitious. I tell you things over and over again, and I hope maybe on the fifth time you will get it. I have people tell me sometimes after I've preached a series on messages 2 months ago, Pastor, why don't you ever preach on this sort of subject? And I'm over there, you know. One, two. Well, maybe I should do that. So I understand, you know, people are forgetful. Sometimes we don't listen or we catch it. But then there are other times, some pastors hope you never will catch the fact that they just keep preaching the same sermon and just change it a little bit. And I try not to ever do that with you. I like Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. I really like it a lot because it reminds me of what it says in these other passages here. You know, it's the process. And I understand here, I don't know who wrote this, if it was Paul or Apollos or Luke or who wrote the book of Hebrews, but it says, of whom, in Hebrews 5:11, we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Isn't that a terrible thing? It's the rebuke of Scripture. I sometimes have become dull in hearing. I think to myself, I didn't listen like I should have. I told you I needed somebody to come in my life, even when I was younger, grab me by the arm and say, hey, kid, why are you settling for mediocrity? Why do you think it's okay to be a goof-off? Why don't you show some discipline in your life? Well, how do I do it? I will show you. For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partaketh only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe, but solid food belongs to them who are who? Mature people, full age. So I ask you, what do you do with your children? You help them with struggles. You help them to get over some things in life, but you're there for them. You are there to teach them. Listen, folks, discipline is important. Are you involved with anybody right now on one end or the other? It'd be great if you could be, and I'm going to keep challenging you in this area. You need to be there for somebody. It's not a matter of superiority. It's just being there for somebody. It's being there. Paul said, I have to beat myself into submission lest I'm a castaway. We are being carved out by God's grace. May the Lord help us through the disciplines that are necessary in our Christian life that we might be the people that God would have us to be. Oh, Father, may it be so. May you work in our hearts in a special and a unique way, even today, oh Lord. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. There are several ways that you can contact us. Visit us on the web at www.BereanBaptistChurch.com. That's B-E-R-E-A-N BaptistChurch.com. You can call the church building at 614-837-5204, and you are welcome to visit us at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. Sunday services are 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., with Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We hope there is some way we can minister to you and either introduce you to or help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ.